page 198. And then the policeman came back because Mr. Shears had rung the police station, and he told Father to calm down, and he took him out of the flat. And Mother said, "You go back to sleep now. Everything is going to be all right, I promise." And then I went back to sleep. 229. And when I was asleep, I had one of my favorite dreams. Sometimes I have it during the day, but then it's a daydream. But I often have it at night as well. And in the dream, nearly everyone on Earth is dead because they have caught a virus. But it's not like a normal virus. It's like a computer virus. And people catch it because of the meaning of something an infected person says and the meaning of what they do with their faces when they say it, which means that people can also get it from watching an infected person on television, which means that it spreads around the world really quickly. And when people get the virus, they just sit on the sofa and do nothing, and they don't eat or drink, and so they die. But sometimes I have different versions of the dream, like when you can see two versions of a film, the ordinary one and the director's cut, like Blade Runner. And in some versions of the dream, the virus makes them crash their cars or walk into the sea and drown or jump into rivers. And I think that this version is better because then there aren't bodies of dead people everywhere. And eventually there is no one left in the world except people who don't look at other people's faces and who don't know what these pictures mean. And he's drawn four faces. The first one's sort of a straight line smiley face. The next one is a smiley face, but with some kind of threatening eyebrows. The third one is sort of like an I don't know kind of face where the mouth is on an angle. And the fourth one is the mouth is in an O, like a real surprise kind of face. Text. And these people are all special people like me. Page 199. And they like being on their own, and I hardly ever see them because they are like okapi in the jungle in the Congo, which are a kind of antelope and very shy and rare. And I can go anywhere in the world, and I know that no one is going to talk to me or touch me or ask me a question. But if I don't want to go anywhere, I don't have to. And I can stay at home and eat broccoli and oranges and licorice laces all the time, or I can play computer games for a whole week, or I can just sit in the corner of the room and rub a 1-pound coin back and forward over the rippled shapes on the surface of the radiator, and I wouldn't have to go to France. And I go out of Father's house, and I walk down the street, and it is very quiet, even though it is the middle of the day, and I can't hear any noise except birds singing and wind, and sometimes buildings falling down in the distance. And if I stand very close to traffic lights, I can hear a little click as the colors change. And I go into other people's houses and play at being a detective, and I can break the windows to get in because the people are dead and it doesn't matter. And I go into shops and take things I want, like pink biscuits or PJ's raspberry and mango smoothie or computer games or books or videos. And I take a ladder from Father's van, and I climb up onto the roof, and when I get to the edge of the roof, I put the ladder across the gap, and I climb to the next roof, because in a dream, you are allowed to do anything. Page 200. And then I find someone's car keys, and I get into their car, and I drive. And it doesn't matter if I bump into things, and I drive to the sea. And I park the car, and I get out, and there is rain pouring down. And I take an ice cream from a shop and eat it, and then I walk down to the beach, and the beach is covered in sand and big rocks, and there is a lighthouse on a point, but the light is not on because the lighthouse keeper is dead. And I stand in the surf, and it comes up and over my shoes, and I don't go swimming in case there are sharks. And I stand and look at the horizon, and I take out my long metal ruler, and I hold it up against the line between the sea and the sky, and I demonstrate that the line is a curve, and the earth is round, and the way the surf comes up and over my shoes and then goes down again is in a rhythm, like music or drumming. And then I get some dry clothes from the house of a family who are dead, and I go home to Father's house, except it's not Father's house anymore, it's mine. And I make myself some gobi aloo sag with red food coloring in it and some strawberry milkshake for a drink. And then I watch a video about the solar system, and I play some computer games, and I go to bed. And then the dream is finished, and I am happy. 233. The next morning I had fried tomatoes for breakfast and a tin of green beans, which Mother heated up in a saucepan. In the middle of breakfast, Mr. Shear said, "Okay, he can stay for a few days." And Mother said, He can stay as long as he needs to stay. Page 201. And Mr. Shear said, "This flat is hardly big enough for two people, let alone three." And Mother said, "He can understand what you're saying, you know." And Mr. Shear said, "What's he going to do? There's no school for him to go to. We've both got jobs. It's bloody ridiculous." And Mother said, "Roger, that's enough." Then she made me some red zinger herbal tea with sugar in it, but I didn't like it, and she said, "You can stay for as long as you want to stay." And after Mr. Shears had gone to work, she made a telephone call to the office and took what is called compassionate leave, which is when someone in your family dies or is ill. Then she said we had to go and buy some clothes for me to wear, and some pajamas and a toothbrush and a flannel. So we went out of the flat and we walked to the main road, which was Hill Lane, which was the A4088, and it was really crowded, and we caught a number 266 bus to Brent Cross Shopping Center. Except there were too many people in John Lewis, and I was frightened, and I lay down on the floor next to the wrist watches, and I screamed, and Mother had to take me home in a taxi. Then she had to go back to the shopping center to buy me some clothes and some pajamas and a toothbrush and a flannel, so I stayed in the spare room while she was gone because I didn't want to be in the same room as Mr. Shears because I was frightened of him. And when Mother got home, she brought me a glass of strawberry milkshake and showed me my new pajamas, and the pattern on them was 5 pointed blue stars on a purple background like this. And he's drawn several stars, actually, like 6 across and 4 deep, to show the stars against the background. Text. Page 202. And I said, "I have to go back to Swindon." And Mother said, "Christopher, you've only just got here." And I said, "I have to go back because I have to sit my maths A level." And Mother said, "You're doing maths A level?" And I said, "Yes, I'm taking it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday next week." And Mother said, "God." And I said, "The Reverend Peters is going to be the invigilator." And Mother said, "I mean, that's really good." And I said, "I'm going to get an A grade, and that's why I have to go back to Swindon, except I don't want to see Father, so I have to go to Swindon with you." Then Mother put her hands over her face and breathed out hard, and she said, "I don't know whether that's going to be possible." And I said, "But I have to go." And Mother said, "Let's talk about this some other time, okay?" And I said, "Okay, but I have to go to Swindon." And she said, "Christopher, please." And I drank some of my milkshake. Page 203. And later on, at 10:31 p.m., I went out onto the balcony to find out whether I could see any stars, but there weren't any because of all the clouds and what is called light pollution, which is light from street lights and car headlights and floodlights and lights in buildings reflecting off tiny particles in the atmosphere and getting in the way of light from the stars. So I went back inside. But I couldn't sleep, and I got out of bed at 2:07 a.m., and I felt scared of Mr. Shear, so I went downstairs and out of the front door into Chapter Road. And there was no one in the street, and it was quieter than it was during the day, even though you could hear traffic in the distance and sirens, so it made me feel calmer. And I walked down Chapter Road and looked at all the cars and the patterns the phone wires made against the orange clouds, and the things that people had in their front gardens, like a gnome and a cooker and a tiny pond and a teddy bear. Then I heard two people coming along the road, so I crouched down between the end of a skip and a Ford Transit van, and they were talking in a language that wasn't English, but they didn't see me, and there were two tiny brass cogs in the dirty water in the gutter by my feet, like cogs from a wind-up watch, and I liked it between the skip and the Ford Transit van, so I stayed there for a long time, and I looked out at the street, and the only colors you could see were orange and black and mixtures of orange and black, and you couldn't tell what colors the cars would be during the day. And I wondered whether you could tessellate crosses, and I worked out that you could by imagining this picture in my head. The picture is of several crosses put together like a jigsaw puzzle. Text. Page 204. And then I heard Mother's voice, and she was shouting, "Christopher! Christopher!" And she was running down the road, so I came out from between the skip and the Ford Transit van, and she ran up to me, and she said, "Jesus Christ!" And she stood in front of me and pointed her finger at my face and said, "If you ever do that again, I swear to God, Christopher, I love you, but..." I don't know what I'll do. So she made me promise never to leave the flat on my own because it was dangerous and because you couldn't trust people in London because they were strangers. And the next day she had to go to the shops again and she made me promise not to answer the door if anyone rang the bell. And when she came back, she brought some food pellets for Toby and 3 Star Trek videos, and I watched them in the living room until Mr. Shears came home, and then I went into the spare room again, and I wished that 451C Chapter Road, London, NW25NG, had a garden, but it didn't. And the day after that, the office where Mother worked rang and told her she couldn't come back to work because they had gotten someone else to do her job for her. And she was really angry and she said that it was illegal and she was going to complain. But Mr. Shears said, "Don't be a bloody fool. It was a temporary job, for Christ's sake." Page 205. And when Mother came into the spare room before I went to sleep, I said, "I have to go to Swindon to take my A-level." And she said, "Christopher, not now. I'm getting phone calls from your father threatening to take me to court. I'm getting it in the neck from Roger. It's not a good time." And I said, "But I have to go because it's been arranged and the Reverend Peters is going to invigilate." And she said, "Look, it's only an exam. I can ring the school. We can get it postponed. You can take it some other time." And I said, "I can't take it another time. It's been arranged, and I've done lots of revision. And Mrs. Gascoigne said we could use a room at school." And Mother said, "Christopher, I am just about holding this together. But I am this close to losing it, all right? So just give me some." Then she stopped talking, and she put her hand over her mouth. And she stood up and went out of the room. And I started feeling a pain in my chest like I did on the underground, because I thought I wasn't going to be able to go back to Swindon and take my A-level. And the next morning I looked out of the window in the dining room to count the cars in the street to see whether it was going to be a quite good day or a good day or a super good day or a black day. But it wasn't like being on the bus to school, because you could look out of the window for as long as you wanted and see as many cars as you wanted. And I looked out of the window for 3 hours, and I saw 5 red cars in a row and 4 yellow cars in a row, which meant it was both a good day and a black day, so the system didn't work anymore. But if I concentrated on counting the cars, it stopped me from thinking about my A-level and the pain in my chest.
Page 206. And in the afternoon, Mother took me to Hampstead Heath in a taxi, and we sat on the top of a hill and looked at the planes coming into Heathrow Airport in the distance. And I had a red ice lolly from an ice cream van, and Mother said she had rung Mrs. Gascoigne and told her that I was going to take my maths A-level next year. So I threw my red ice lolly away, and I screamed for a long time, and the pain in my chest hurt so much that it was hard to breathe, and a man came up and asked if I was okay, and Mother said, "Well, what does it look like to you?" And he went away. And then I was tired from screaming, and Mother took me back to the flat in another taxi. And the next morning was Saturday, and she told Mr. Shears to go out and get me some books about science and maths from the library, and they were called 100 Number Puzzles and the Origins of the Universe and Nuclear Power, but they were for children, and they were not very good, so I didn't read them. And Mr. Shears said, "Well, it's nice to know my contribution is appreciated." And I hadn't eaten anything since I threw away the red ice lolly on Hampstead Heath, so Mother made me a chart with stars on it, like when I was very small, and she filled a measuring jug with Complan and strawberry flavoring, and I got a bronze star for drinking 200 milliliters, and a silver star for drinking 400 milliliters, and a gold star for drinking 600 milliliters. And when Mother and Mr. Shears argued, I took the little radio from the kitchen, and I went and sat in the spare room, and I tuned it halfway between 2 stations so that all I could hear was white noise. And I turned the volume up really loud, and I held it against my ear, and the sound filled my head, and it hurt so that I couldn't feel any other sort of hurt, like the hurt in my chest, and I couldn't hear Mother and Mr. Shears arguing, and I couldn't think about not doing my A-level, or the fact that there wasn't a garden at 451C Chapter Road, London, NW25NG, or the fact that I couldn't see the stars. Page 207. And then it was Monday, and it was very late at night, and Mr. Shears came into my room and woke me up, and he had been drinking beer because he smelled like Father did when he had been drinking beer with